All right, so today, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to try to finish up Simin Sadi Aleph. Simin Sadi Aleph is, you know, as we've seen, it's a little bit complex. It's a little bit, you know, you have to sort of organize all of the ideas in your head. Sadi Beis is more so. So, you know, we're just getting warmed up over here. So, we were doing Sif Hey last time. I just wanted to touch on a couple of, maybe one more point. The Gemara, you know, the Gemara that we're working with, right? We were doing Sifei last time, right? But yeah, we were defining what's called a Niyachal Echol Machlus Malcho, different Shitas Rishonim. Yeah, am I crazy? Am I right about that? I don't remember. Okay, yeah, I think we went through all five different Shitas, something about how salted it has to be, and went through what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael, but Rabbeinu Tam is with the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Okay, now that we know that Malich Krosech, and that there is this idea of Tam transferring through Malicha, so the question is, how much of a Bliya is generated through the Malicha? So the Shulchan Aruch takes a clear stand on it, but let's get a little bit of the background in terms of the Rishonim, meaning we know that Malich is Krosech, to the extent that a Bliya goes through, but how much? So the Shitas HaRambam in Perek Tesvav Machal Sasurus Halacha Lamed Dalil and the Ramban in Chulin Kufir Bezam Beis both say that it's mamish kiroseach. It goes through the entire thing, just like when you mevashal something together, that it the tam goes through and through. Malich also the tam goes through and through. The Rush in Chulin, in the eighth parak of Chulin, Simul Chav Dalit, and the Rashba and Torah Sabaya say, nah, it's only Kedei Klipa, just barely Kedei Klipa. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins over here, unless it's the Davar Shamein, and we'll soon see that the Ramah tells us to always assume that everything is a Davar Shamein anyway, but we Paskin that if it's not a Davar Shamein, if it's not a fatty food, that it's only Kedei Klipa. The Beis Yosef quotes a Ra'ah, not Kedei Klipa, but somewhere in between Kedei Klipa and everything, and that is Kedei Netila. Kedei Netila is like an inch, the width of a finger. So those are the three basic shitos of how much of a bliya is generated. So this is yet another example, as we're going to see several over here, where the Mechaber paskins somewhat lakula, and the Ramah on a practical level is going to end up being more machmir, because really the Mechaber agrees that Davar Shamein is going to be different, but the Ramah on a practical level says, yeah, and everything's a Davar Shamein, so we always assume Davar Shamein. So therefore it's gonna be time that goes through and through. Now in Shurei HaRav, in Simon Samach Beis and Os Aleph, Rav Salvechik suggests that the Machlokas is how literally to take the phrase Meliach Keroseach. Is Keroseach Mamish Keroseach? In that, the transfer of Blios is considered to have happened Mamish through heat? Or do we say no, Keroseach, in that it's Mavlia, that just like Resicha creates blios, or creates the ability of blios to transfer, Malicha also allows for blios to transfer, but since the method through which it's transferring is not through heat, but it's through charifos, so it's not exactly kiroseach mamish, it's different, it only goes kedei klipa. And Rav Salvechik uses that chakira to explain everything, meaning he points out that that connects to the machlokas about how salted it has to be, the machlokas we discussed last time. Because if you assume that it's kroseach mamish, then it makes sense that you should need enough salt to preserve it for a long time and make it usable meat, just like cooking makes the meat edible, right? The idea is that when you cook, what's the primary function of cooking is to make something usable and edible, something you want to eat. So the malicha would have to be the kind of malicha to turn it into beef jerky, to turn it into something that would be preserved and edible to eat for a long time. However, if it's only on account of the charifos that the taste transfers, then maybe even a smaller amount of salt, like the amount that you would prepare meat l'kedera, in order to be able to cook the meat. The malicha we do in the shachtaises nowadays may suffice. Even small quantities of salt have an impact that can cause a pleitas hatam. It can cause some tam to be extracted. In the footnote, Rabbi Konigsberg just points out now, according to the Rashba and Torah Sabayis, the charifus of salt is less effective in transferring tam than heat is. Because the Rashba writes that the reason you need melicha l'kedera and not just melicha l'tzli, which as we've discussed, the definition of melicha l'tzli is a much lesser form of melicha, because you can roast without melicha, is that demelach ein mavlia b'chomo ella b'charifuso. That melach is not mavlia through its heat, but through its charifus. V'kol she'ein bo ela melech muat ad shenocha lemosa melech ein bo koach levliya. And if it only has just a tiny amount of melech to the point that you're able to eat it, that's not enough to give koach levliya. V'yaf ol pishe melech muat yesh bo koach lehaflit k'tzas. A little bit of melech, you'll see it schwitzing a little, you'll see it drawing something out, but it's not going to be enough to be mavliya. You're going to need a lot more melech to be mavliya. Now, our salvation points to a further machlokas rishonim, whether meliach kroseach happens immediately or only after the salt sits on the meat kashir zman meliach. That's machlokas mechaber rama. We saw last time that is meliach kroseach dafka within the meal, within the time that the melech is happening, or is it no, dafka after the meat has been sitting in the salt. The Ran in Chulin Memal from Beis B'Dap Erif quotes the Rava Bartzaluni, it's quoted in Beis Yosef here, that it only works after sitting on the meat for a shir shihil the kadera, and the Mechaber paskins that way, right? The Mechaber in Samach Aleph Sifhei paskins that way, but the Shach in Sif Katan Yeralev quotes that the Rashba holds that even within the shir melicha it's already roseach, and that seems to be the shita sarama, because Rama writes the yesh amrim de la'achar sheshah b'milcho shir melicha lo mikri achar kach roseach. Once it's already had the shir melicha, so then it lost out, that impact of the melicha is already gone and it's no longer roseach. So within the shir melicha, that's when it's considered roseach according to the Rama. So says Rav Salveitchik, maybe the Rama holds that melicha is mavliya through charifus, so that's only when it's still sharp within the shir melicha, where the Mechaber holds its mavliya like chamimus, and in order to generate the blias roseach, it doesn't suffice to have salt on the food. You need the meat to have been salted, meaning it's not enough that you have salt there. Having salt there makes it very charif. But in order to say that meliach is karoseach, if you're going to treat it like it's resicha mamish, so then you need basar meluach. Basar meluach is only if you already had a shir melicha. So that's what Rav Salveitchik suggested. That would be another nafkamina in this basic chakira. Another potential nafkamina he suggests, you can look it up in Shirei Rav, he has all these, would be whether tasa gavra by melicha. Do we say tasa gavra when it comes to melicha as well? We certainly say it when it comes to heat, right? That we've seen. We saw that machlok. So tos and chulin, kofiyud gimel amir aleph, and the Rush in Simon Mem Aleph says that there's no tasa gavra by melicha. However, the Tur quotes a Rashba that if you hold Meliach Kenasa, the entire thing, that's only if the Davar Meluach is the Tasa'a. But if the Davar Meluach is the Ila'a, then you're only going to need Kedei Klipa, meaning exactly like heat. That just like if the bottom one is hot, oh, then Tasa'a Gavra, the whole thing's going to be Asur. But if the top one is hot and the bottom one is cold, then you only need Kedei Klipa. Same thing by Melicha. So the Shach and Sivkot Nirbeis points out that this chaps enough kamina for us too, because we hold that a davar shamin meluach can asr bekulo. So the Rashba would say that that's only true if the meluach is lamata. So says Rav Salveitchik, if you hold that the transference happens machmas chamimus, you know that it's mamish kiroseach. So then, yeah, you'll say tasa gavra as well. That once it becomes basar meluach, so then you're going to have a transference that happens exactly the way resicha would transfer. However, if you say that it happens through charifus, so it's a whole different channel through which the blios are going from one to the other, and it's got nothing to do with tasa nila. Tasa nila may have to do with heat rising or something like that. You don't have that when you're talking about charifus. That the entire concept of Tasa Gavra is because of pressure. Yeah, in Achinami, I think he makes that, or Salvation makes that, or maybe Rabbi Konigsberg makes that point in a footnote also. Now, the Gemara and Chul, so that's just Rav Salveitchik's Ha'ara, just, it's a nice, always nice to be able to package all the different machlokas and, you know, put them together in a single unit. So that's, he makes that it's four nafkaminas, with one basic chakira. You could argue on each one, you know, whether that's really what they're arguing about, but it's at the very least, it's a memory aid, you know, to be able to remember what the issues are. Now, the Gemara Chul and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel tells us that salt can be maflit, but it can't be baleya. So if both foods are salty, or the isser is maluach and the heter is tafel, right? The Isser is the salty one, then it's going to Asr the Heter. But if you have an Isser that's Tafel, and the Heter is Maluach, I mean, you have a bland Isser, and a Heter that's Maluach, then you only need to rinse the Heter, because its salt isn't going to help to be Bolea Isser from the other piece. It's only going to be Polate what it has, which is kosher. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in a case where only one of the foods is salty and the other one is not, that you only need to remove a Kedei Klipa from the food that isn't salty, and you could rinse the one that is salty. But the Ramah adds that only works if the non-kosher food is dry. But if it's moist, and the kosher food is at least slightly moist, then it would aser the kosher food. Then the Shulchan Aruch adds, Ve'ein chilek bein meliach elyon v'tavl tachton, the meliach tachton v'tavl elyon, the olam hameliach mavliach v'tavl v'ein abaleya mimenu. I don't care what's on top, what's on bottom. Fine, that's what Shulchan Aruch says. We saw that is a machlokas rishon, but the Mechaber Paskins, that it doesn't matter what's on top, what's on the bottom. Then the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Vav says, Shim haisa shmeina kula asura, that if it's a fatty piece of meat, then it's more than kedei klip, it's going to answer everything. V'chein chaverta asura kula, mnei shashomen mefapeya. We assume that fat causes is a super highway for blios, right? That the fattiness allows the blios to get through everything. So if one of the pieces is fatty and the salty piece is on the bottom, both pieces become asur because the fat helps the flavor transfer through the entire piece. So the Rama in Sif Hei adds two important chumras over here. Number one, he says that v'yesh omrim da'anan ein b'kim b'davar v'yesh l'nachshav afi meliachas tzlik roseach. What is called meliach, says Rama, everything. When something is even meliachas tzli, it's automatically roseach. So even very slightly salted pieces of meat, that's roseach, it could transfer flavor. And then a second chumrah, when you put it together with the first chumrah, which really makes everything asr, and that is that when that we mentioned before, when it comes to fatty meat, we're also in Bikin in what's called fatty. And therefore all meats are considered fatty unless it's bone dry. He seems to say that in Simon Kufhei when he says that we try not to distinguish between Shamin and Kachush except for like Chametz B'Pesach, which is totally dry. So if you have something that's mamish totally dry, so fine, then it's not fatty. But generally speaking, we assume everything is fatty. So it would seem, when you put the two chumras of the Ramah together, if you should put the two chumras of the Ramah together, that according to the Ramah, you have very lightly salted meat that isn't really fatty, and it comes into contact with cheese or with non-kosher meat, the entire piece of meat is going to be aser. Al yedei meliach karoseach. Aye, but it's not meluach. Yeah, but we're not pekiyin. Aye, but even if it is meluach, it's only kedei klipa. Yeah, but we're not pekiyin in davar shamin, so maybe it goes through the whole thing. However, there is a machlokas achronim whether you say trei einanu bekiyin, right? Meaning, are you going to say einanu bekiyin? Can you say how many times can you use einanu bekiyin in one case? Right, you say, with the chances that we guess wrong on both, you know, that something doesn't seem salty and it doesn't seem shamein, and we're going to call it both salty and shamein, so that, you know, that's very unusual. So the Prima Gadim in Simon Kofei in Sif Seida says that even b'melichas tzli, we'd ask for the entire thing, but Rabbi Kiveger over here says, no, sagi b'klipa, because we don't say a double lane on a b'kiyin. We don't do a double lane on a b'kiyin. Even the Ramah is going to be makel b'makom hefsid meruba. Meaning, the Ramah is acknowledging that what he's saying is a chumrah. The Ramah says, yeah, I say einanu b'kiyin, but, you know, that's quite a chumrah to say einanu b'kiyin. So even the Ramah b'makom hefsid meruba is going to be makel like the Ikra Din, not to say these einanu b'kiyins and to follow the basic halacha. Now, yeah? Melichas tzli.
Which
the problem is ain't on a bikini and what melichas tzli is either, right? So that's the problem. Yeah, it's some very minor amount of salt. Right. That's for sure.
Not for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you buy meat from the store, unless you bought liver, you know, the old-fashioned way where they would kasher it over the stove or whatever.
So what exactly would be the rationale between Gadim? Like, if it's Shari Surim, maybe I can see it, but if it's a b'chol anyway, so Malik
is
only
a drabbanim
in the first place. Meaning, whatever Tara Lemis you create, the b'chol is only
drabbanim.
So, like,
Bishlam of
Ashari Surim, but like, if it's
b'chol, that's the Chumra's work. You know, it's a chumrah. Now, the shaila lemaisa is not such crazy. It's not such an unusual case. I think we may have discussed when we're doing kafe. You come home and there's a spill in your refrigerator, right? And some milk got onto a piece of meat in the refrigerator. Raw meat, cooked meat, doesn't make a difference. Meat, chicken, does that make a difference? Or like your freezer broke and, you know, everything melted, but you feel the meat, it's still cold, so it's still salvageable. Or a problem is some ice cream dripped on it, right? And it made its way through the packaging somehow. So these are shilas. You have to ask, well, wait a second. If the meat is salted, so you say it's maluach and it's kiroseach, and therefore, and if the meat is shamein, then I then say that the whole meat is going to be asr. So let's see what the rest of the siman in order to be able to really make sense of how to navigate those situations. And again, you know, this is one of those cases where if you're the one that catches it versus your wife / mother who catches it, you know, it may yield a different result. You know, a woman sees milk going onto meat. She's not serving that. You know, that's going in the garbage. You know, you'll have to pay for a new brisket. But la halacha, right? In Yeridaya, as I think the famous quote from Rebbetzin Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, was when Rav Soloveitchik went into the kitchen when she wasn't home or something and started trying to do the dishes or something, she said, "You and your Yeridaya are trafing up my whole kitchen." Right? So we don't want to trafe up the whole kitchen with the Yeridaya, but we'll try to figure out what the halacha is. Ephraim, you have a question? Oh, so we'll get to that now again also, right? Meaning hafsid, a lot of these chumras, the Ramah is going to be making on hafsid merubah. Right.
I'm thinking
Kofay,
he doesn't mention when he talks about the shamin and kafosh that it's okay
to hafsid merubah. To not be considered, meaning that we'll consider everything shamin. Right. He does not say that it's okay to hafsid merubah. I'm not sure. Okay, so now, we learned in Sif Dalid about Tasa Gavar, when we discussed Tasa Gavar, right, this concept that the bottom overpowers the top, right? So if cold milk falls onto hot meat, the milk is going to become usr. Hot milk falls onto cold meat, the meat will be mutter, except for Kadei Klipa. So the Gemara tells the story that we discussed last time. Bird meat that was presumably cold, presumably raw, fell into kutach. And again, we know a few of the ingredients in kutach. I suspect there may be more ingredients, but we know the ingredients that relate to chametz and that relate to basar, the chalav. So kutach is something that has chalav in it, and it's also got salt in it. So Rav Chinna Berei de Rava mi Pashranya was matir. He was matir the chicken that fell into the kutach. So the Gemara says, oh, what a Talmud Chacham to be matir such a thing. Normally Meliach Koroseach, but Hani Mili Deno Nechal Machmas Molcho, Kutach is Nechal Machmas Molcho, and he was enough of a Chacham to realize that it's not a Dover Meluach, and therefore it's mutir. Then the Gemara adds what seems like a few additional caveats or kulas. The Gemara in Kufid Beis in Chulin adds, "V'hani mili chai, aval tzli bayi klipa," that only raw unsalted meat would be mutter if it touched the milk while it was cold, but roasted meat is going to need klipa because it absorbs some of the milk. And the Gemara adds more details, that if it has cracks or it's spiced, then the entire thing is aser. It's not kula, it's really chumras, right? The Gemara says that when something is tzli, it's going to be worse off. You're going to require a klipa. That's klipa. If it's sli, it requires a klipa. And then two more chumras that add beyond a klipa. That if it has cracks in it, right, or it's metuvel betavlin, it's spiced up, then the whole thing, then the bliosik can get through everywhere. So on the first of those issues, the idea of tzli, there's a machlokes rishonim how to define the term tzli and chai in this context. I was just trying to work through this last night. I apologize if what I'm saying is very elementary. I was just trying to get clarity, you know, in this. So all I'm just going to present is just like, I think it's pashut. It just took me a while to sort of figure it out. And I didn't have a chance to look at what Rabbi Sablovsky said. I'm sure he had some nice lambdas over here also. But there are three possibilities how to interpret this Gemara. Right? The Gemara makes this comment that... that if it's tzli, it's a different story. Tzli is going to require a klipa. Only chai will not. So three possibilities how to interpret the Gemara. And to complicate things, the Mechaber paskins one way, the Ramah paskins another, and the Grah paskins a third way. So all three possibilities make its way onto the page in Shulchan Aruch. And it all relates to that case of milk dripping on cold meat in your refrigerator. Right? So here we go. Sefer HaTrumah in Siman Samach Gimel, and the Rosh in Siman Lamed Gimel, and Rashi in Pesachim, and Tosos in Chul and Daf Tzadi Vav and Beis, all say that what does the word sli in this Gemara mean? It means that it was once cooked. It doesn't mean that it's hot. It doesn't, nothing to do with heat. Chai means raw. Sli means that it was once cooked. Sli over here is not sli as opposed to bishul. It means that it was once prepared through heat. It was once cooked. It was once cooked or roasted or whatever. This is a chiddush that we haven't heard yet, that if it was ever cooked, then it's a problem. Meaning the fact that it was once cooked generates a problem. Now that goes Maimonios and Macholos Asuros, Tazvav Os Samach, writes that according to this sheet in Rishonim, if the previously roasted meat was also hot and it fell into cold milk, you would need a kedei netila, not just a kedei klipa. Because if you have two reasons to need a kedei klipa, so then you're going to need more than a kedei klipa. Right? If hot goes into cold, so normally you need a kedei klipa. But if cold roasted goes into cold, you need a kedei klipa. So it goes, my money says, Chiddush, that two kedei klipas, two requirements of kedei klipa equals kedei netila. However, Pri Chadash in Sivkan Chavez wonders about that, since the Gemara just says Basar Tzli requires klipa, it never distinguishes between hot and cold. Plus, we already learned that Shmuel holds Tasa Gavar, and the example given was Basar Otech Shenafel Etoch Cholav Tzonein, where Shmuel only asered Kedei Klipa. Okay, so that's a Chiddush that goes to Maimonides. Anyway, that's one interpretation. The Ramban in the Chidushim and many other Rishonim say that no, raw, cooked, it doesn't make a difference. Tzli is just another way of saying hot. When the Gemara says tzli over here, it means a hot piece of meat falls in. Chai is another way of saying cold. So what's the Gemara saying? No real Chiddush. Hot falls into cold. Tasa gavar. So, but you still need a kedei klipa. Because at the makar, until it cools down, it penetrates a kedei klipa. Right? That it's not a real Chiddush. We already know that Ilah Cham requires Kedei Klipa. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin, we'll get to the third way soon. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin, Had Mefalgin Bein Nachal Machmas Malcho Lein Machmas Malcho Hani Mili Bebasar Chai Aval Tzli Roteach Shenafel Amaliach Afilu Nachal Machmas Malcho Bei Klipa. Even if it's not really salted, you're still going to require Klipa without salted if it's hot. So, boiling hot meat falls into a bowl of cold, or even slightly, cold milk. You need to remove a kedei klipa from the meat, because tasa gavar. That's obviously like the Ramban and the other Rishonim, the Rashba, the Rashi. The only problem with the Mechaber is that, l'chora, there's no chiddush over here. It's just classic tasa gavar. So what's he really adding over here? So you have to say, either the chiddush is in the next line, where he says, yeah, but if there are cracks, or if it's metubal betavlin, oh, then it's going to penetrate fully, and that's the chiddush, but this line, ein achinami, is not a chiddush at all. Or that the chiddush, that even though the meat settles into the milk, that it's still considered the ilah, which we saw from the preacher last time, it's been first in the Beis Yosef and the Shach over here. Right? That even though you have meat falls into milk, so it dips, dunks right into the milk. So you might think, okay, now the milk is ilah. No, the milk is b'makomo. Shach sivkat and chav gimel beis yosef over here. What we saw in the preisha last time, the milk is in its place, and therefore the milk is the tasa'a. Maybe that's the chiddush. In fact, that's what the Kav HaChaim writes. Kav HaChaim writes that that's the chiddush. Kav HaChaim writes, avol bishat sli shokel l'toch chaval chalaval sli eno kitzon l'toch cham. The kol shu b'makomo gover makarat sli shenafel l'tocho hilkoch b'klipa sagi. Beis Yosef b'shem Rashbash, Shach, right, the Rashbash was, the Tashbetz's son? Anyone know the history? Rashbash of the Duran family in, like, Algeria or something? They were, like, the Rabbanim for centuries. Anyway, Shach, Sivkat, Chav Gimel, Pri Chadosh, Lech Mapanim, fine. And the Shach, like we said, quotes it from the Rash, but why is the meat considered to be on top? And he gives the same idea. Now, the Ramah says, so again, so the Mechaber says, it's just, Tzli is just another way, the way to interpret that Gemara, Tzli is just another way of saying heat. Right? It's just another way of saying heat. The Ramah says that when we say Tzli, it's lav dafka roasted, it means baked or cooked, right? That also. Pischei tshuva is mesupuk, kavash also? What if it was previously kavash? Would that also be called Tzli? Right? Okay. But the Ramah is then mechadesh that when we say Tzli is ashkate klipa, it's talking about cold. Right, meaning the other way that we saw to interpret the Gemara, which means that the next line where we say that if it's cracked or spiced that the whole thing is usher, means even if it's cold, you have unsalted cold meat that falls into milk, according to the Ramah, whole thing is going to be usher if the meat is cracked or spiced, the whole thing is going to be usher. And you have to be machmir unless it's hefse merubah, the Ramah says. So it seems, why is he being machmir? Because it's a suffix, how to read the Gemara. So machlok is rishonim whether there is such a chumrah of cold meat, or no, maybe tzli means hot, like the Mechaber says. So we try to be machmir. Malkum hefse merubah, you can rely on the other shita in the Gemara. Now, it's important to point that out, that it's only because we're mesupuk about how to read the Gemara that the Ramah's machmir. That it's not really B'Torah's Vadai that he's being Machmir, that's why he's being Mechel Machmir Efsim Merubah. The reason I'm highlighting that is because there's a tshuva in the Har Tzvi, Tzvi Pesach Frank, in Simon Pehei. For my 3 years teaching Landers, I heard a lot about Tzvi Pesach Frank, because Rav Sachs is a great grandson of Tzvi Pesach Frank. So I've told you the Mises, Rav Sachs used to always say over how every Shabbos, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank would learn the entire Masechah Shabbos. Talmud about the whole Masechah Shabbos, not just with Zichru, the whole Masechah Shabbos. Every when he was in Avelus for his father, I think, the whole year, the whole Yud Beis Chodesh, every day he learned the entire Masechah's Beitza, every day. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is a different kind of Talmud Chacham, you know, like a different Madrega. You know, he ran a Beis Din, and his Beis Din had younger Rabbanim who looked up to him, like Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and you know, these were like the young guys that were on Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's Beis Din. So anyway, so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tremendous kula. He writes as follows, in Simon Pehei in Yordea, Basar of Mevushal, okay, cooked chicken, Shenishbach alav chalav kar, cold milk spills on cooked chicken in your refrigerator. Some cold milk spills. So he writes, Nishalti b'kadera shel chalav sha'amda b'madav ha'elyon shebimakarer. It's on the top shelf in the refrigerator. Umitachtai somenachas chatichas ov kal kar mevushal. And you have cooked leftover chicken from Shabbos underneath it. Val yedei shazaza nishba chalav l'tochakli. Right, the milk thing spilled over. Right, they didn't have like the screw on tops of the milk container. They had, you know, a bag with a snip in the corner. Right, so it spills over. It knocks over and falls. Shabasar of munach. It falls onto the shelf with the basar of. So yesh l'tzadeh. So before we get to where C.P.S. Frank says, what do we say? Cold, cold. What do you taina? So let's go through what would aser it? What? It's cooked already. So if you hold that tzli means that it's been cooked, so then you have a problem. If it's cracked, then the whole thing's aser, not just gedei klipa. If you consider it maluach, forget it, right? Then also the whole thing, the at least gedei klipa would be aser, but cracked would make it the whole thing. So says Rashi Pesach Frank, Yesh l'tzadid l'heter Shari basar ov b'chalav eino ala midrabanan. So it's starting point. We're dealing with basar b'chalav midrabanan because it's basar ov. U b'prat shebelo bishul gam basar b'heme eino ala midrabanan. Plus there's no bishul here, so the whole thing is rabanan anyway. If rasha poskim ha-machmir ha-machmir gam ba'ov Shari kol machlok sa poskim in zet tzluya b'feru shivir ha-gamar v'chulun kuf yibayz v'hu bar guz lo denaf l'kutach shu basar ov. Now, granted, the whole discussion is based on a Gemara that's about Basarov. Right? It was a bargozla. It was foul that went into the kutach. But since our whole chumra is only mishum sveika dedina, about how to interpret that Gemara, we could be makel the basarov. So even though the Gemara was about basarov, but since it's a suffix, how to read that Gemara, whether it means hot or whether it means cooked, you could be makel on basarov that's only midirabban. Wow. Uprachi ish kan trade rabban. Gambas vein lo bishalein midirabban, especially if it's a trade rabban because there's no bishal. And then he says, "Gamar Shalino Machmir Ubinim Lachsas, Lachena Marti," this he's assuming it's not Maluach at all. Lachena Marti Lahadia Khetiv Saof Lachla Saof Bodakar Valola Vashla. Kia Bishal Atzmo who is it? He says, rinse it off, eat it while it's cold, don't heat it up, because if you heat it up, now you're creating an actual bishal, if you assume there's any milk on the surface or that made its way through. Maybe there's a little bit of tam chalav in the cracks. So we don't want to do that. Heating it up would be called doing something.
Is he going against
the Ramah about the maluach point? Presumably it has a little bit of salt. Yes, I don't know the exact case that he was asked about. Right, he seems to be assuming that it's not maluach, or yeah, he seems to be assuming that it's not maluach, which is hard to understand because everything is maluach. Yeah. Sounds. I don't know what he does about that. I have to look back.
Maybe he's
lying to me. He's lying to me about what? Yeah. What's the third shita? I mean, so far we saw two shitas, but there's a third shita here. The mechaber understands that sli means hot. The Rama understands it means it was once cooked. Shach and Sivkat and Chaf Aleph brings a third shita, but it's the first one the Shach brings. I mean, the Shach tells us that there are three shitas, but the first one he brings is the Sefer HaTrumos. And the Grun, Sivkat and Yilchas, holds that way la halacha. So if you look in the Grun, Sivkat and Yilchas, you'll see that this is what he paskins la halacha. Yeah. Viniri Iker Da Sefer HaTrumos, Shra Paskin, Da Filu Chai Tzon, Kol Sheish Papilu Aser. So what is this third shita? That is that Basar Tzli, says the Shach. Again, it's not the Shach's own sheet, it's not his maskana, but it's what he quotes from the Sefer HaTrumos. Basar Tzli, afilu tzonein. Okay, so far he's saying, doesn't mean hot, like the Ramah, even if it's cold. Shenafa l'chalav, afilu nech l'machmas molcho, even if it's not salted, bayi klipa. V'im bebasar bekaim, Oshu matul b'tavlan afilu hu chai kulo aser. Meaning the Ramah holds it's only if it's both tzli and either b'kayim or tavlan that it's kulo aser. This way of understanding the Gemara is basar tzli is one chumra, and then you have a separate chumra even if it's not tzli, even if it's chai, that b'kayim u matul b'tavlan is going to aser the whole thing. Sefer Trumas on the ground is saying, even if it weren't sleep, it's just Bekayim, it's just Tavlin, it would be Kulo Asir. Shach doesn't hold like the Shita Lalacha, he holds like the Ramah. But unlike the Ramah, he's not make, the Shach is not make like the Mechaber, even Makam Hefsim Ruba. I mean, where the Shach goes a little more Machmer than the Ramah, is he's not, he doesn't bend for Hefsim Ruba. So the Shach is essentially like the Ramah, except the Ramah is willing to go and have some Ruba, and the Sefer Trumos and the Gra are even more Machmir that there are cracks, or if it's Metuvah B'tavlin, that it's going to be also Kulo, even if it's cold and was never cooked, right? It has nothing. It has no definition of Tzli. Chachmas Adam is Machmir like the Gra over here. And as we've pointed out, Chachmas Adam is very influential in Yeridaya. It's interesting, the Chachmas Adam, if you look at his introduction, if you read Chaye Adam, so he's very proud of showing off his Mechutin. Right? Who's his Mechutin? You know who his Mechutin is? The Gra. The Gra was his Mechutin. He wasn't really. meaning, the Chachmas Adam's, Chaye Adam's child married the Gra's grandchild. But, you know, that's close enough to a mechutin. He was willing to call it. So he always talks about mechutani, you know, gon, agadol, whatever, you know, very flowery lashon. He was maspid the Vilna Gaon. He held very, very highly the Vilna Gaon. I mean, you know, how could you not, right? But in Chachmas Adam, he rarely quotes the Vilna Gaon, which is like a little stunning. But if you look in the introduction to Chachmas Adam, he explains why. apparently the Chayyadim was a businessman most of his life, but he writes, you're going to tell me, why am I writing a sefer? Who do I think I am? I'm just a businessman and I'm not engaged in Torah Yom V'Layla. He says, Meir alai yodea talumos. Kodesh Baruch Hu could be made on me that the whole day when I'm doing business, I'm not Masiach Das from Torah for a moment. I'm thinking and learning the whole time. In a not unrelated story, his business failed. And eventually he had to take a job in Dayana. So toward the end of his life, he became a Dayan in Vilna for the last 10 years of his life. So as a resident of Vilna, as a Dayan in Vilna, people were not happy that, you know, Kedarka Shel Torah, in Chayyadam, he quotes the Gra, and sometimes he agrees, and sometimes he disagrees. Now, who do you think you are? You're going to disagree with the Gra? So in the Haktam to Chachmas Adam, he said, you know, I know that the Gra is happy that I, you know, talk and learning as Fev B'Sufa. I know that, I'm not willing to go through the criticism again. So he just doesn't. So over here, he doesn't quote, even when he agrees with him, he doesn't quote that it's the Gra. But he paskins this way, meaning he paskins like the Gra. So in Chachmas Adam, he's much more gun-shy about quoting the Mechutin. So just a fascinating, you know. There are two ways to touch up why his business failed. Either the obvious, or that Siyata Deshmaya, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it. That's what they say. Who was it? The Doviv Mesharim. The Chabina Rav, right? The Chabina Rav was also a businessman, and he went, I think it was to Rav Meir Arik, to talk and learning, and Rav Meir Arik gave him a bracha that his business should fail, so that he should be learning all day the way he should have been the whole time. And it taka worked. So business failed and he became the Chabina Rav. So that's the other way of touching it up. Chacham Sadev, how can he be learning? So, you know. Okay, question?
Yeah.
Right. Well, meaning everyone else says it does, right? It's a good question. It's a Metzius question, I guess. Meaning, I guess you could assume that, you know, Keshem Shenichnas Kach Yotze, when it isn't cooked, because even though it has cracks in it, those cracks are more easily accessible, as opposed to if it's been cooked, then the meat hardens around it or something. I don't know, something like that. You have to, again, Metzius question, but. Let's discuss the cracks for a moment, and then we'll get practical halacha. As we said, the Gemara Chulin Psachim Yispei Pili Kuli Aser. So if there are cracks, then the whole thing is aser. And again, Sefer Chumah said even if it's raw, that's the the Gra, then the whole thing becomes aser. And Klipa is not going to be enough because the milk gets through the cracks, goes through the entire piece of meat. So the Gemara then says any mitul b'tavlin it's Kuli Aser. Right, that's the other one, that it's spiced, it's softened, and is more easily balea, so the entire meat becomes aser, and the klipa is not enough. So Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin tells us fellows, V'im yeshba b'kayim oshom matovu b'tablin, v'hu tzli roteach kulo aser. If the hot falling meat has cracks in it, or it's been spiced, the entire piece of meat is forbidden, because, meaning, I say hot falling meat, like the mechaber, right? Meaning if it's the mechaber's definition of tzli, or according to Rambam's definition of tzli, the previously cooked falling meat has cracks, there's mitul b'tavlin, the whole thing's going to be aser. But it's the combination of those things, the fact that it's tzli and it has the mitul b'tavlin. So again, Rambam says, even if it's cold, as long as it's already been cooked, then the whole thing's going to be aser if it has one of these things. And the Rama said, "Makom Efsur Ruvi Yikrolai in the Shulchan Aruch." Now, Pri Chadash and the Chavz Das point out that what does that mean? Does that mean that there's no way out? Like there's no hatter? Once it's got cracks, or once it's mitzvah b'tavlin, it's done. So, Pri Chadash and Chavz Das have an interesting ha'ara. Bade Shulchan quotes it over here. If there are cracks in the meat, shishim's not going to help. Meaning, in a certain sense, this is worse than actual roseach, than actual bishel. If you were actually mevashel a piece of meat with milk, so then you have shishim. If you have shishim, it would be batel. Right? But over here, even shishim, if you have shishim in the meat, can I get the milk? It's still not going to help. Why? Because what's the concern? That milk has been deposited in sections of the meat. There are pockets of milk there. Shishim assumes even distribution. Metuvel betavlin and the pili assume not even distribution. So even shishim is not going to help, right? That we know. Says the Yad Yehuda, yeah, but even if you hold like the Brichadash, that shishim is not going to help, Meya ve'esrim will help. Mechitesi, what's Meya ve'esrim? So he says, you have Yavish b'Yavish, it's batel b'rov. So the heter doesn't have the tam iser, because the entire piece of meat had tam chalav, there wouldn't have been a problem in the first place, since it would then be batel b'shishim, right? So it's clearly not, the tam iser is not in the whole thing. So in that sense, you could view this piece of meat as if it's several pieces. I don't know where, that's why it's all tarovas, but there are sections that there's chalav. Right, that there's a high concentration of chalav. But there's a greater volume of sections where there's no chalav. That's yavish b'yavish batel b'rov. Wow. I mean, he's willing to halachically dissect a chaticha, even though physically it's not dissected. That's what the Yad Yehuda writes, that Meya ve'esrim is going to be good enough. So again, in this sense, Bekayim is more chumra than heat, but Yad Yehuda pulls it back a little bit, says, not that it can't ever be batel. So it's important to note that while chicken is considered to have crevices, the skin on the chicken, I don't think the poskim assume has crevices or cracks in it. So if milk spills onto the skin, you could probably just peel off the skin, even according to the Ramah. And then as far as Metuvel B'Tavlin, just a detail, Metuvel B'Tavlin, the Chavos Das quotes a Beis Lechem Yehuda that Metuvel B'Tavlin means that it's so spicy that you can't eat it. Who would ever make anything Metuvel B'Tavlin then? If it's so spicy you can't eat it, it means you can't eat it as is, you have to rinse it off. He's also Satsukula, right? Meaning that means that nothing's really Metuvel B'Tavlin, meaning most of our meats are not Metuvel B'Tavlin. He's also mistopic, like what's called tavlin. Like, are onions tavlin? Is garlic tavlin? Or does tavlin mean, no, just what we call spices? Meaning, what if you have vegetables whose sole function is to impart flavor, like onions and garlic? You have the same shayla in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, we know that the halacha is that a klisheni, we're choshesh, not like the chazanish of salvation, but the mishmaru is choshesh, that everything might be kalei abishal. But not everything. There are certain things the Gemara says explicitly are not kalei abishal. Right, what does the Gemara say is not Kalei Abishal? It says water is not Kalei Abishal, and Tavlin is not Kalei Abishal. So there's a discussion in Poskim. I put lemon in my tea. And my tea is a klisheni. Is the lemon going to be... is that going to be Yasser Mutar on Shabbos? Maybe it's just Tavlin. And Tavlin is not Kalei Abishal. Or do you say, no, there's something about spices that we know as spices, but something that... even though it's used as a spice, but it appears as a fruit or a vegetable, then it's not a tavlin. Many poskim are makel about this. Okay, so again, practical application. Let's talk lemais over here. Milk on cooked meat. Your freezer breaks down, you find that the milk melted and is now soaking a piece of meat that was cooked. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Mechaber, everything is cold, what do you do? Nope. What? Klipa. Why klipa?
It's cooked.
No, I said cooked. Yeah, cooked meat. Okay, yeah.
So cooked.
But that doesn't matter according to the Chabad.
It's not hot.
What?
It's not hot, right?
It's not hot. Everything's cold. It's in your freezer. So what do you tell you now? And remember, the Mechaber does not think that everything is salted. Right? It's got to be Eino Necha Machmas Malcha. Hadacha. You rinse it off. So if you're a Sephardi and you come home after a long vacation and there was a blackout and the ice cream melted all over your meat, rinse it off and it's fine. According to the Ramah, what would you say? Since the chicken was cooked, right? So what would you say?
Is it salty?
Everything is salty.
Kulo
asa, right? And it's cracked, right? We assume it's cracked. because regular stam chicken is cracked. So we assume it's kulo aser. Spiced? Was it spiced? I don't know. Probably not. Right? Mitzvah b'tavlin, we're not going to. According to the Shach, for sure. I mean, right? Even if it's hefsed meruba, the Shach would say. Meaning the Ramah might say, b'makom hefsed meruba, you could be mekel. The Shach is going to say, even if it's hefsed meruba, you got to be machmir. According to the Gra, for sure, aser. Right? Now, what if it's on raw meat? So the piece of meat in your freezer was raw. So, according to the Ramah, if it's raw meat, so you have, it's not sli, it's raw meat. So metuvah betavlin and crack doesn't do anything unless it's also sli. So according to the Ramah, rinse it off and it's fine. Right? Ooh, but it's maluach. Okay, so now you have to treat it like maluach, which means what? Why kulo?
We're not
bikin in what?
Both.
In shamein and, unless you say trey ain't on a bikin, we don't say. Right, in which case you'd only need a klipa. Right? It's a little complicated, but you know, that's why I'm just, my whole avoda here is just to try to, 1 second. So according, what do we say? And according to the Shach, what do we say? There's just no heter of hefsed meruba according to the Shach, right? Now the and according to the Sefer Chumos, what would you say that the Shach quotes? So according to the Gra, let's say it that way. If it's cracked, then the whole thing's aser anyway, no matter what. So the Kaf HaChaim writes that of course Sfarim paskin like Maran Beit Yosef, they paskin like the Mechaber. But even the Kaf HaChaim says Bal Nefesh should be Machmir. Should be Machmir. What if the milk isn't even... we'll go into... The final thing, let's just finish up. Final thing. So in Siv Ches, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Ein Bas Bechal Nesra Al Yidei Melicha Al Yidei Kavush Ela Ba Achila Ava Lo Ba Hanoah. That all Isra Bas Bechal through Kavush and Meluch is only Ba in Isra Melich, it's only Isra Achila, it's not an Isra Hanoah. Why? It's not Derech Bishl, it's not Bas Bechal Midoraisa. Right? So in Yalkut Yosef, he quotes that Meikar Adin, you could be Kovesh Basar B'chol V'yachtav on purpose with the intention of being Nene from it. Meaning it's not a violation of Bishul Basar B'cholav because it's not Bishul. And you could do it L'chadchila to get Hana'ah from it. Not to eat it, but to get Hana'ah from it. What do you mean to get Hana'ah from it? You want to use it as dog food. Or you want to use it as veal feed, right? Because... that's what they feed. That's, I think that was the kunz. That's what they did when they had to change the veal feed because they found that they were feeding veal only basar b'chol midaraisa. There are two issues with the veal, right? You're familiar? Did we discuss this? There are two issues with eating veal. There's the tzar b'lechayim issue because they mamish, you know, they want to make sure the animal doesn't develop any sort of muscle or whatever. So they lock these little cows in little cages where they can't move. They don't get any air. They don't. So there's mamash tzar b'lechayim issue, and then there's a second issue of the feed that they give the veal is basar b'chol midaraisa, or that they used to get, and that's all they feed. They don't let it eat normal food, so they give it like a liquid feed that's basar b'chol midaraisa. There's a halacha, the Shach quotes that if something is niskadal kulam on basar b'chol midaraisa, never eats anything but basar b'chol midaraisa, so the isra na transfers to the animal that whose diet consisted of basar b'chol midaraisa. So that's Rav Shechter was Rav Meisha has a tshuva about the first issue about Tzar Beli Chaim. Rav Shechter's chumra about not eating veal or psak about not eating veal is about the second issue. So Rabbi Ganak worked with the company to change that makes the feed for the veal to make sure that it's only basar b'chol midrabanan. Problem is the shach is machmir even basar b'chol midrabanan. Okay, but that's a separate. That's Rav Shechter still machmir about the veal, but it's not OU policy. You know, I guess we should have asked that question. Was it Rabelski or Rabbi Ganak that overruled Rav Shechter on that issue? But OU policy is that veal is kosher. I was just listening on the way in today to Rabbi Ari Wasserman, who was interviewing Rabbi Breidowitz from Or Sameach. He's a big genius. You know who he is? He's a big posek in Eretz Yisrael. He's also like an astrophysicist or something. He's like a crazy genius. And he was saying that he personally doesn't eat veal because of the first issue. He finds it tzar b'lechaim to, you know, it's like not an animal rights person in the sense that, like, I believe that, you know, shechita is something you're supposed to do so that, you know, for the benefit of mankind or whatever, but, like, you know, how much are you willing to put an animal through just for your tightness? So he said he doesn't eat, you know, that's his ethical hashkacha, that he won't eat veal. But anyway, so that might be, so to make it kavush, the Rav Vadya writes that even l'chadchili, or Rav Yitzchak Yosef writes that his father says even l'chadchili you could do it. You can also salt basar b'chalav yachtav l'tzorech goy or behema, but then he goes to Madani HaShulchan, says that you should be machmir mishamar sa'ayin. Very similar to Machmir by Chalavi Isha. I don't know if it's Maris Haim. What's the Maris Haim? You're salting together, you're kovish together, it's not at all like cooking. In Chalavi Isha, the issue is that the Chalav looks like Chalav. So I'm not sure exactly why that's a Maris Haim. Okay, so that's it for Siman Sadi Aleph. Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start Siman Sadi Beis. Siman Sadi Beis is basically about like kitchen accidents, right? Something spills and goes and whatever, right? Siman Sadi Aleph was about transference of tam. And Siman Sadi Beis is right. Dinei Amnafal Chalav L'Kederish L'Basar. All sorts of kitchen accidents. It's somewhat complicated. We'll try to navigate our way through there. That is from tomorrow.